Lord, thank you for this day and all of these kids and all those working with them. We thank you for your precious promises. We thank you that you do inhabit the praises of your people. We thank you, Lord God, that you draw us to you, Lord. You speak to us through your Holy Spirit. So I ask that, Father, you would take this time this morning as we come here to honor, for you are risen, Lord. You make a way when there seems to be no way, and you are faithful. You watch over your word to perform it. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, please. You would think after such time I wouldn't be nervous, but I always get nervous up here, especially when I'm doing announcements. Because that's not what I'm really called to do, but I do feel like I'm called to preach and to teach, and I'll be honest with you, it's an honor to be able to share the Word of God with you, and it's a privilege, and I don't take it lightly. And I encourage you, because I don't know, we're all in different places in our walk, and sometimes some of you have been in church your whole life, some of you have been in church, you grew up, you were raised in it, and you kind of slip away, and life gets busy, and you know the stories, and all the, you know, you could probably even recite some of the scriptures, but whether you are new in your walk, or are coming to know Jesus, or you've been in church your whole life, there's one crucial thing you need to understand. And that is that God is a spirit. He speaks to us by his spirit. It says that there will come a time when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, that there will come a time when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. And I'm going to explain a little bit about what that means, because it's kind of hard, but you got to understand, you were meant for more. You were meant to be in communion and in right relationship with God. And Jesus, when he died and rose again, the fact that he rose again gives you the ability to speak and commune with God, because he made a way, because our efforts would always fall short. He brings light to our life. He can change your life. I can speak to you about how much I love the Lord, but that's my experience. You have to be willing, and sometimes, some of you like the school of hard knocks. You have to get beat up left and right, dropped down, broken before you'll say, okay, I'm done. Whoever you are, it will always be a personal decision that you make to call out to mighty God. But he sees you, he knows you, and we see the character of God throughout Scripture, not religion. Religion has never represented God the way he is to be represented. It's always failed. It's always come up short. It's always been legalistic and overbearing, but not true sense of love and purpose, which is what God has given us through his son, Jesus. So the reason I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 3 is because it's kind of important, and it starts there. And it'll all come around. So in Exodus chapter 3, we see Moses and the burning bush. This is something that you've probably heard of, you've seen growing up on the felt board and everything else, how God spoke to Moses. But I want to look at a few things here that take place, and it's very significant even for this day. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb. That's Mount Horeb, by the way. That's also later where the Ten Commandments were given. The mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush, and Moses saw that through the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, something that me and you would probably also do. Why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them. Let's think of the significance here. The bush is all on fire. It's not consumed. An all-consuming fire, but yet the bush is not consumed. And from that, Jesus, or God, God is Jesus, but God speaks to Moses and says, Moses, he calls him by name. When someone says, you know, Sean, the Lord calls us by name, think about that. God calls you by name. Wherever you are in your life, he calls you by name. He knows you better than you know yourself. You know, there's a lot of different reasons people go to church. And I'll be honest, it's sad to say that maybe some churches, and I'm just saying some out there, they're all about being a money machine. Maybe just using the scripture and taking in a place to generate all kinds of people. But that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church is the body of Christ. If you're a professing believer in Jesus Christ, you are the body of Christ. You are the church. You are the ecclesia, the called out ones, the separated ones. That's what you are called. And he knows you by name and he calls you by name. And it doesn't matter what someone else is doing. When we had the Sadducees and the Pharisees, God always makes it personal. Who do you say that I am? As he asked his disciples. It will always come back to that. And just as it is then, it is now. God calls you by name. And why? Because he wants to send a deliverer. And he's saying that to Moses because he has seen the suffering and the oppression of his people. Think about that. That shows us that God is moved with compassion. And he knows your pain and your suffering. Sometimes when we're in pain and we're suffering or we're struggling, we don't know, and we usually will isolate because sometimes it's so overwhelming we do not know what to do. We're afraid to share that we're afraid. We're afraid to share that we might be going through some real hardships. And so we hide and we don't want to deal with it, but God sees you. He sees where you are. He sees your weaknesses and he is here to restore and to heal. And he does that by his Spirit. Later, Moses, even in spite of all this, this should also encourage you, later in this chapter, he gets to a place where he's telling him he's going to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. We know the story, but something happens. He says, well, who am I going to say when they say, who sent you? What is God's name? Now, you got to remember in Hebrew, they didn't speak the name of God. We say Jehovah in English, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nietzsche, Jehovah Tanuk. All these names are aspects of God's character written in Scripture. And when you dig deep, you begin to understand that he's not some far off. He is a person, but he is a spirit. And that same spirit, when you give your life to Christ, will dwell inside of you, restore you, renew you, give you a hope. And it doesn't matter what the world does because the world does not hold you unless you want it to. It is not about, hey, I'm going to do this and that. You will be transformed and will not want to do the things that dishonor God because you know him, not because you're afraid of being punished. And he does bring punishment. That will happen. But it doesn't happen always instantaneously. Sometimes we slowly begin to justify as we walk or slip away. Maybe you had a bad experience. Maybe someone that you thought was in a place of leadership should have been a leader and they weren't a leader. Maybe they broke the covenant that they made with God and someone else, and they broke a promise. Who knows what it is, but that is not Jesus. God is bigger than all of that. He's bigger than your past. He's bigger than your shortcomings. He's bigger than your fears. He is spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus is truth. What will set you free? When you know the truth shall set you free. How do you know the truth? By walking with him. Being accustomed to it, allowing it in your life. Allowing it in your life, allowing it to change you. and saying, God, I need you. You have to bend a knee. You have to be willing to come like a child. And we get older, it's hard to do that. We don't like to bend for nobody. We do, right? We don't want to bend for nobody. But the strongest people in the world eventually will need to get a helping hand. Their body won't work the way it used to. So they're going to learn it in one way or another. And I'm telling you right now, you can call on God. But I didn't want to take a rabbit trail. But when we get into that moment when they said, who should I say you are? He says, I am. I am who I am. Now, you might know what, you might wonder, what does that actually mean? Well, it means I am all-knowing, all-powerful, always been there, no beginning, no end. I am. I am. That is very significant. God calls you by name. Not only does he call you by name, he knows everything about you, and he loves you. He calls you by name, he speaks, and he sees where you are, and he loves you enough to bring healing into your life. But most of us don't ask. Most of us look at people instead of coming to God. When I think about the burning bush, and I think about that moment, I've heard that story my whole life. What does the bush represent? It represents that God is holy. It symbolizes the purity that it's set apart. It also speaks of his personal relationship with us. It shows us that God is compassionate. God is powerful and sovereign. It shows us that he is self-existent, especially when he says, I am who I am. God is faithful to keep his promises. Now, I can tell you in my own personal life, I still, as a pastor, I don't care where you are, you'll never reach a plateau where there won't be some type of struggle or battle of your mind. Sometimes I think I'm crazy. And then a friend said, well, define what crazy is. Right? Sometimes I think I'm crazy. Sometimes I feel like I'm just a cheerleader. But you know what? Those are all times that I take my eye off the Lord. Sometimes I wonder, God, are you going to be faithful this time? And if I was to make a list for you, every single time he has been faithful to me, and yet I still struggle, and yet I still doubt, and I'm a pastor, I'll be happy to tell you. And then I get broken when the Holy Spirit begins to convict and work on me, or sends someone in my path to say something that I know God's already been speaking in my heart, and he sends that person in my path, and they say the exact words, and I become broken by it because I know it's the Spirit of God. That is how God works. This morning I drove here. My wife said, be of good attitude. You might have a Barabbas on the front porch. And there was. And since my wife probably said that to me this morning, I'm like, well, I am going to have a good attitude. And let me explain. You go, well, you should have a good attitude when they're there. Well, let me explain. Yes, you should. Sometimes people can try your patience, and if all you want to do the right thing, sometimes it's hard. In this particular moment, I felt like the Lord said, go get food before you tell them to leave. Or clean up their mess. Actually, I didn't say she had to leave. I just said, clean up your mess if you would, please. So I brought her breakfast. And I brought her the breakfast, and I sat it down, and I said, I brought you breakfast. And she got up and was all ready to start talking. A 60-year-old woman. And she began to say to me, and I asked her if she knew Jesus. I said, I've been in church, I know Jesus. And she's all, and you should speak on the burning bush. That's why I spoke on that this morning and then speaking on it. Why? Because that's how God works. You can try to be smart, intellectual, figure all that stuff out. Good for you. But God, I believe in my heart, speaks that way through people every single day. He's speaking. It's whether we're listening. Now, I could have been angry and done all kinds of things and missed that because my flesh gets in the way. I'm saying that because you know what? It's easy to fall into complacency and begin to think that, you know, religion's good. Good ethics, I'm going to do some good things. You know, at least I want some fire insurance. I want to say I did this and I gave to the church and I went over here and did all this. That doesn't mean you know God. It's easy for us to wonder where he is and or wait for a catastrophe to draw us back. But you know what? He's a spirit. He's alive. He's well. He's in our midst today. He's speaking to some of you right now. You're like, how does he know that? Or how is he saying? I don't know anything about you, but God does. And I am just like you. I am saved by grace. And the thing is, I know it. I don't deserve to be up here. I do not deserve to be up here, but Jesus equips me, and he equips you wherever you are. And the enemy wants to thwart and to steal, kill, and destroy the very promises. And so many people never really fully experience God because they're too busy looking at all the wrong things and looking at their own shortcomings to understand that they can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. We serve a God that makes all things new. There's key words that are important. Jesus said, when they came to the garden before he was going to the cross, there's something that he said that's very important. And it actually, they all flew back onto the ground. They were blown away, literally. And he says to them, they said, where is this Nazarene? And Jesus said, I am. And the way he said it, boom. He said, I am, identifying he is God. He says it. And then all throughout scripture, he says, I am the bread of life. Right? I am the bread of life. He speaks of his nurturing, his sustenance, the very thing we need. Food, you get hungry still, but with the Spirit of God, you are fulfilled. Your soul is content because you're right with God. Food will always, you'll get hungry again, but with the Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit is working in and through you, you become a new person. You begin to change. That's the Holy Spirit working in you because he loves you. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. So that we don't have to live in darkness and shame anymore. He brings light so that we don't have to be afraid. He brings light so nothing is held on to us anymore. We can give it all to him. We could give it all to him. Some of you might know my past. It's not a good one. I was on everything but roller skates and probably roller skates at one time. That's literally how I lived. I ran from God because I was forced to go to church growing up and I hated it. I hated it because I didn't understand or have a relationship. But even then, God spoke to me, but I didn't always want to listen. Well, I got to figure this out for myself. When the Lord works in your heart, there's something happening. It's a burning inside of your chest. You know that's the Spirit of God. That is not you. That's the Spirit of God working in you, revealing to you that he loves you and Jesus died for you. You can take your sin, you can take your past, and you can give it to him. There's people that say, well, I'm not that, but you live like you still are in it. You believe all the lies the enemy says. You don't believe that God knows or cares that much about you, or why would he put you in this position or in this situation? Guess what? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's all kinds of things going on in this world, and people are going through trials, and they're hard, and it doesn't mean that they're going to just disappear, but Jesus will hold you up and help you walk through it. Because the kingdom of God is not of this world, but we want it to be so bad sometimes. Well, if I just had this and that, I'd be content. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Contentment comes from being at peace with he who is peace, the Prince of Peace. Have you ever just listened to the names of God? It'll blow your mind. Adonai, I could sit in here and sing the names of God, and I just get broken because God is good. His mercy endures forever. He does not change. Think about that. When you had a plan and all these changes happen and you try to do everything right, it doesn't work. Guess what? God does not change. You can count on it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because we need something constant in this life. And that's why it says he's an anchor for our soul. That is what our hope in him is. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. This was written hundreds of years before Jesus fulfilled it. So when he's speaking to those people that doubt him, even the religious leaders, they are aware of this passage. In fact, they had it memorized. That's how most of them did. Had it memorized. In fact, that was what they would do for their entire life. If they were in sin, whoever they were, they would memorize and write it down. It was hard. That's why the Bible is so significant. There's more copies of this than any other historical document in the entire world. What does that tell you? Oh, let me see why. Did the early disciples get wealth? Did they get all this wonderful stuff? No, they got persecuted. It did not behoove them in the natural to be a Christian. In fact, it would say, go the other way. But the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of them and changed them, and they didn't care what man said. They didn't care what the world said. They only cared about what he said. And we see it all throughout Scripture, right? All throughout Scripture. They knew because they were in tune, and it was worth it to them, and it didn't matter. Even Stephen, it says, why do you think it says, don't worry when they pull you before people and they begin to judge you and they're going to do all these things, these worldly leaders, whatever. When they do this, don't worry about what you're going to say. Why? It says the Holy Spirit will give you what to say in that hour. Because the Spirit speaks. You need to understand, he speaks, but we don't always listen. We don't always ask. I mean, God is living. I wouldn't be up here if I just thought this was just a good book. Let's just do some key points and put it up there. And hey, you guys have a great day. No, I believe the Spirit of God's moving in this place because he has to, because he loves you. I mean, he doesn't have to, but he does it out of his love. Right? I mean, he's moving. There's more to life than what you possess, what you have, or the relationships. There's more to life than that. There's hope that isn't bound by this world. Thank God that we have a God that sees everything. Isaiah 53, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Jesus was not a handsome man, according to this. He was nobody that you would pay attention to. Nobody that you would take a double take. Right? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. You know what that's like, right? When you see somebody and you didn't want to talk to them, you're like in the store aisle and then you run over. And then you're like, right? And then you awkwardly end up next to him, right? You guys are laughing because it's true. You would do that to Jesus in Walmart. I'm not saying I mean, think about it. That's, you get it. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God. Think about that. We just considered him. He got it on his own. He did. We didn't even have the idea to understand what he was doing was for us. Think about that, the arrogance. What he was doing was for us. The religious leaders didn't even think they needed a savior. They had a great bloodline, a good pedigree. In fact, they were born into it. They deserve it. There's nothing worse than not realizing that you need Jesus because that's the very thing that will condemn you. It's not the sin. It's rejecting the one person that saves you from that sin. People go, well, I can't come to church because I'm not ready. I still do things. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Okay. How's that working out? Because you know what? We're all dirty in here. And we're washed by the blood of Christ because he loves us. And you know what? The closer you get to him, you won't want to do that stuff. You won't want to see that stuff. You wouldn't want to partake with that stuff because you don't need it anymore. What do you think they call it? Self-medicating. Right? Got quieter. Surely he took up our infirmities. We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The punishment, that the cross, all of it was upon him, and that's the very thing that gives us true peace. And his wounds we are healed. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. That's pretty true, isn't it? And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as sheep before her shears, he is silent. He did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Think about that. And that was what happened when he was brought before them. He did not speak at that moment. He was brought before them as that, like a sheep before the shears. They're just going to go. You know what's interesting about sheep? Sheep are wise enough to get through the bush or the fence, but not wise enough to come back. They're wise enough to escape and then just take whatever fate comes. Isn't that a good picture of how we are? We're wise enough to get in trouble, but to come back's a lot harder. It's like we can't come back from whence we came. We can't get back there, but we can get escape. Jesus says, I am the shepherd. He is the good shepherd, one that lays down his life for the sheep. He's not a hireling. He lays his life. He knows his job. He puts his life on the line for the sheep. He's there not for monetary gain. He's there because he loves the sheep. He loves the position. He is a good shepherd. He guides. He leads. He nourishes. He protects. That is who Jesus is to us. But will we let him be? Will we allow him into those places in our life? I say that because you know what? He is. It says, he also says, I am the resurrection and the life. Again, I am the resurrection and the life. He is power over death. He is who he says he is. The resurrection and the life. He says, I have come to this world to what? Not to judge the world or to condemn the world, but to give life to the full. That's what he said. The world is condemned already. The word has been spoken. The wrath of God is already in the midst. When people continue to go down that dark alley and wonder how they got all beat up and bruised and got there, he is there to call and reach out to them. But there'll come a point where they can't hear anymore. They've taken their conscience and their soul, and it's so calloused by continual repeated action of ignoring God and their stubbornness, and they're betting that they'll get that day. It says, you come now when the Spirit of God is working on you. Why? Because no one can come to God unless he draws you, because God is speaking. He speaks to our spirit. You don't have to have it all figured out. But if you're honest with where you are and you want to be renewed and made right with God, you can do that. And it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. That's where you are. Are you going to make that commitment? Are you going to say, God, I know that I haven't lived for you, but I want to live for you. You could be here and say, hey, I don't care what you've done for the church or where you're at. If you're not serving him, you know. His spirit is speaking to you. Why? Because he loves you, not because he wants to burden you. It says, take all our anxiety and our burdens and put upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares, and he knows what's best. Amen? You can turn here if you'd like, but it's in Luke chapter 24. On the road to Emmaus, there's two men walking. Jesus shows up alongside them, but it says that their eyes were restrained from seeing who he is. It was like he was testing them. They were downcast. They were sad. It didn't happen the way they had planned, and it was already been over 3 days, and they said that he would rise, and they weren't getting it. They weren't seeing it, and he did rise, but they weren't, you know, there's people all over. And Jesus speaks to them. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." We just talked about some of the things the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ, this is 24 verses 25, did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He's saying this to them. They're walking with him. They're maybe halfway listening and maybe not. When he was at the table with them, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. I think that's important. Jesus acted as if he was going to continue on. Why do you think he did that? One, he wanted to see how much they were listening, and he wanted to be invited to come. You see that? They knew about Jesus. They have heard all the stories. In fact, they said, "Who are you, a stranger? You don't know what's going on in Jerusalem right now?" And he says all of that, and he says to them, he's telling them all these prophets, like he's like kind of like telling them, "Hey, you're not seeing that that's how it was supposed to happen. He was going to have to suffer. He was going to have to do these things." And they're listening, and then he acts like he's going to keep going. They don't know he's Jesus yet. And he says this to them, "But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them." They asked him. They urged him. "When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight." They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Who opens the scriptures to us? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:14 that the word of God is spiritually discerned. You can't even understand it apart from the Spirit of God. You have to have the Holy Spirit to understand the word of God and see how it applies in your life. "Well, I don't read the Bible. I don't understand." Then you aren't. Haven't asked Jesus into your life. And if you have, you haven't submitted something in there. You need to say, "God, I need you to open the word for me." Because out of his love, he holds revelation back for a reason. Because with it comes greater accountability. He loves you enough. To whom much is given, much is required. He loves you enough to hold enough back because you're still playing games with God. You might be doing this with your walk. And I'm not bashing anyone. I'm saying this out of love. We're going to do this, and eventually, two things are going to happen. You're going to get tired of where you're at, or you're going to fully submit to God. And if you're saying, "Well, I've already done all that," guess what? Then you got something else you got to do. Just as Moses was called to go and speak to Pharaoh and bring freedom, guess what you're called to do as a Christian? In the Great Commission, after Jesus rose again from the dead and he speaks to his disciples, he says, "Now go into all the world." That was a commission for everyone, not just the disciples. You are called to be a light to those you work with. And if you notice, Moses was just doing his job when he saw the bush. These men were just walking along, and Jesus came and sat down with them in a common meal. Doing the normal things in life, God is speaking. God is moving. In the things you think aren't important, God is speaking. Are we listening? I want to encourage you with that today. I hope you feel encouraged. Because you know what? It encourages me. Because you know what? I don't know if you, but when you know, like when Mary Magdalene knew the difference, and this is what I hope, and my prayer for this church body, or at least as the pastor here, this is how I view things. if you want to know. All right? When Mary Magdalene was washing Jesus' hair because she was like a woman of the night, right? She had a lot of bad past, things she didn't want to talk about. But she brought it to Jesus. She was honest with who she was. She recognized she didn't deserve it. She didn't care what anyone said. They mocked her. They made fun of her at the table. I spoke on this last week. She washes her hair, gave everything that she had, and that whatever it was to speak to Jesus, to get before Jesus, and Jesus blesses her, right? Think about this. And you know what example he said to her, to the religious leaders? Because we got religious leaders in this world. We got some critical people in here because that's the way you were raised. You were raised with the law, but you've never experienced the freedom that comes through the Holy Spirit. You've been afraid of it because you think that, oh, well, I don't want to be emotional. I don't know about you, but when you know you deserve hell and God pulled you out and loves you and sent his son to die for you, it's kind of easy to get emotional about it, especially when you don't deserve it. He says, he who's forgiven much loves much. That's me. And I knew better because I've been raised in church my whole life. And I willfully ran to the darkness trying to get sick of it. Some of you do the same. The truth is, God always spoke to me. In the bar, I'm not saying go to the bar to hear from God. But I had people come right up to me as I'm bumming a cigarette. If I had what you had, I wouldn't be here. What are you doing here? Strangers. I've had someone come up to me and say, are you going to deny God in the bar like you do everywhere else? Who are these people? People that God used because God is speaking. He does the same for you if you listen. I don't care how mature, how much you have, or where you're at. If you're not hearing from God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't take it with you. The greatest thing you can give your family and your relationships and everything around you is be someone that is submitted to the Father and listens to him. Be that light in the darkness because we're called to do it. And I'm telling you, there's nothing greater than when someone gives their life to Jesus. And God just happens to use you in the process. A broken vessel, but you were willing. Amen? As you get ready to go, would you stand up with me, please? As Kim comes up here, I'm going to ask that if you guys want to leave, you're free to leave. Have a wonderful day. But I want to just extend this offer. It doesn't matter. You can do it where you're at. As she's playing the piano, I want you to think, because I believe the Lord has been speaking to some of you in your own heart, in your own way. Some of you have been walking away. Some of you, whatever. This is a wonderful day to commit your life, recommit your life to Christ. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, we can pray for you. I want to offer you that because it's the greatest gift of your life, is you knowing that God loves you and he calls you by name. It's not because I don't care what you've been through. I don't care who broke promises or how you've been let down or how you're grieving right now. I mean, the grief is so overwhelming. Guess what? He's there for the widow. He's a father to the orphan. He says he's all of those things. He is your husband now. He is your father now. That is who he is. That's who he says he is. He is the I am. And you know what's interesting about the I am? At the end of it, there's a space. And I don't take this out of context, but in the context, I am what you need. Not in the sense of money and all these other things. I am the fulfillment. I am Jehovah God. I am always. The beginning and the end. That is what he's saying. So when the Jews would say, when he says, I am, they know what that means. He is that for you. So feel free to just close your eyes, pray. Feel free to leave. I'm just going to make an offer. If you are willing to give your life to Christ or you want to recommit, I don't care if you come up here or not, but I'll tell you something happens. When you come up here, you leave your pride in the chair. That's what happens. That's what happens. You don't have to. I'm not judging you. You know if God is speaking to you, and I just ask that you respond. It doesn't matter if you do. That's between you and him. You can do it in your car. I'm just saying, if you feel led, we're here to pray for you. Amen?